Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray.
O God, that you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Continue with the reading from Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone.
You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy.
They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest.
As they are glad when they divide the spoil. The rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of meeting.
For every wound of the trampling warrior is in battle tumult.
And every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God.
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. To establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news.
Who publishes peace, who brings good news and happiness.
Who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice.
Together they sing for joy.
For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord to Zion.
Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem.
For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem.
The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations.
And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Amen.
Our first lesson is from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had been given birth to the son, and he called his name Jesus. Our next lesson is from John 1. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, On whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.
Thank you.
lessons from Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not long ago, there were a variety of Christmas Eve service traditions. Anglicans liked to show off their boys' choirs, would do lessons and carols. Lutherans, a tradition that was still hale and hearty in my youth, did the nativity play, or the children's service on Christmas Eve. The gift in the Brown household for being good during that service was that the presents would be under the tree on Christmas Eve when we got home. In grander cathedrals, Christmas Eve would be the musical extravaganza with a midnight vespers as the complement. Some of those are still done here and there, but most of those rituals have been forced from Christmas Eve. All removed in favor of the candlelight with silent night, which we'll do it towards the end. A jaundiced eye might say that all those other traditions took skill and time that we were no longer willing to collectively dedicate to the story of Emmanuel. A happier view might say that as the rest of society powered the Christmas onslaught, the church wisely did something simple and beautiful, regardless of the reason why. Reasons which are hopelessly clouded, as the human heart is usually a mystery even to itself, regardless of the reasons. There's an old phrase, old enough to be in Latin, regarding worship. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Which means literally, the law of prayer is the law of belief. What it means on a practical level is, show me your worship and you know what you believe. A change in worship rituals signals a change in belief more surely than anything. Our lessons and carols tonight trace the simple good news from promise to fulfillment. Isaiah promised to the people of God living in exile in a strange land, sing for joy, your God reigns. Break forth into singing. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. And witness after witness is brought forward to testify to the fulfillment. The messenger of God tells Joseph, this is Jesus, incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He will save his people from their sins, where meek souls will receive him still. The dear Christ enters in. Mary had said to that angel, let it be to me according to your word. And Joseph, ever the silent one, simply did as the angel of the Lord commanded and called his name Jesus. How silently the wondrous gift is given. The Baptist sees the grown Jesus and points towards him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What child is this? Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. And those disciples are commissioned. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And what were they supposed to testify about? Break forth into singing. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. We have seen the salvation of our God. First, he came in blessing. Now is the time of grace. Now he gives us himself. Now he proclaims peace to those who were far off. Soon will come the hour. Of course, the trouble is that there are serious problems with all of those witnesses. From the world's standpoint, none of them are entirely credible. Another carol sings that Isaiah foretold it in words of promise, sure. But having read the rest of Isaiah recently in the daily readings that we do around St. Mark's, I'm pretty sure that Isaiah would have been right with the Baptist, sending messengers to Jesus, asking, are you the Christ, or should we expect someone else? The salvation of our God is the forgiveness of our sins. Yet that is rarely as externally dramatic as the language of the prophets. The salvation of our God comes not in a ball of fire or at the head of a mighty army, but it comes meekly, like the descendant of a great king taking in a pregnant girl as his wife, or that girl setting aside her plans for God's. None of these witnesses are telling the most likely story, and the world would easily scoff. And those rough disciples, they were still asking for the fireball in the army when Jesus sends them out. They want the sign. But when the sign is given, it's Emmanuel, God with us. God hidden or veiled in the flesh. God revealed in meekness. We all want the sign, and the sign is given a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This one will save his people from their sins. The world easily says to that, oh, never mind. The earlier rituals were the rituals of a confident people with a sense of the absurd truth of the story. Yes, let's turn over one of the highest, holiest days to the children. After all, God did. How can we not follow? Or attempting to make up for the silence of that Galilean night and choirs of angels heard only by shepherds with instruments and choirs too grand to understand. We are not those people. What is the belief incarnated in our ritual? Matthew quotes Isaiah about Jesus. When the Pharisees and the entire world were conspiring to destroy him, Matthew reminds us that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. Nothing might be quite as weak as a solitary candle flame. Yet the Lord protects it unto victory. Now it's the victory of grace. Your sins have been forgiven. Then the victory of justice. John would write, a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The world does not understand this light. His own would not receive him. But to all who do, he gives the right to become the children of God. We believe, teach, and confess this, that the Word has dwelt among us, that we have seen his glory full of grace and truth. Grace and truth hidden and yet revealed in the flesh, in the Christ child then and now, in his body, the church. A light shines, one living stone to another. The Word coming from outside of us. And that light, protected by God and nurtured by the Word, still tells us that Christmas lives with us now. The Spirit has been poured out and resides with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Call it the flickering sign of the internal truth. The Spirit confirms to us daily what this child has done. Your sins are forgiven. Sleep in heavenly peace. Amen. Thank you. God, you make this most holy night to shine with the brightest of the true light. Grant that we may know the mysteries of the light on earth. We may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. True light, which gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you.
now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace.
Amen.
Close with God, join your prayers.